Is that all right now? It was coming back at me. Joshua 3, and the message tonight is the promised land. There's so much in chapters 3 and 4. I'll read what is necessary. But first, look at chapter 1. Chapter 1. Verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And you'll find in Deuteronomy chapter 9 that it's called the promised land, the land that God promised. Notice, 3 days, and then they're going into the promised land. Chapter 3. How are they going to get in? And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they were moved from Shittim and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits. That's about 1,000 yards. Come not near unto it. That you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, now listen carefully, this is the way they're going to get into the promised land. Verse 8, thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you all of these inhabitants of the land. 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, for every man a tribe, every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, when the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord God of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, even the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand in one heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over the Jordan, the priests that bear the ark of the covenant being before the people, and when they that bear the ark were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brink of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in one heap, a great way off, at Adam, the city that is beside Zarephath. And those that went down toward the sea of the Araba, even the salt sea, were wholly cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel passed over on dry ground until all the nations were passed clean over the Jordan. Now understand what has happened. The priests with the ark, first of all, go to the edge of the river. Then they step with their feet into the brink of the river Jordan. And when they do that, that is when the miracle begins to happen. And then the waters part, and then they walk into the midst of the Jordan and stand there. So remember those two steps. First, they step into the water. The water surrounds their feet and ankles, but when it does, the miracle takes place. And after that, it is not that they take a step and the waters go back, and they take a step and the waters go back. As soon as they stepped in, the waters went back. And then they walked on dry ground to the midst of the river Jordan. Now, look at verse 1 at verse chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the nation were clean passed over the Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then you shall say unto them, Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Notice two words, please. Notice in verse 6, they shall be a sign among you. And please notice in verse 7, they shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel. And the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of their tribes of the children of Israel, and they carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Please notice, two commands, two sets of 12 stones. 12 stones are taken out of the Jordan and carried to the other side and placed where they are lodging that night. And then 12 stones are placed in the Jordan as well. 12 stones out and 12 stones in. All right. Look at verse 10. For the priests that bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished. that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, they passed over also. Look at verse 15. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony, that they come up out of the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry ground, that the waters of the Jordan returned unto their place, and went over all its banks as before time. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua set up in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then he shall say, or let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you, until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were passed over. And all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we're thankful for these amazing wonders that you performed for your children of old. You sent one, Moses and Aaron, and performed wonders for them. And then, our God, you sent your Son from heaven and performed wonders for us upon earth. We thank you, our God, for all demonstrations of your power, of your might, and we thank you for the significance of these things. Our Father, we pray that the significance to them may become meaningful to us, because we have read, whatsoever things happened aforetime were written for our learning. And these things happened unto them for types, and were written for our admonition. So let us look at these types, as well as these historical facts, and let us learn, and let us be comforted and grounded in the truth of God by them. Now we thank you for this day, Father. We have remembered your Son. We have had the scriptures open to us. And now, again, we desire that your lambs and sheep be fed. Assist thy servant and prepare the hearts of those who are listening. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The reason that I read to you from chapter 1 was to contrast that statement with what we read in Numbers 13 and 14. You have the children of Israel that are nearing the promised land, and 12 spies have been sent out, and they found the land, and they come back and give an evil report. And in brief, God says, you are not going into the promised land. Anyone that is 20 years old and above shall not go into the promised land. You're going to wander in the wilderness, all total, 40 years. Now, think. Here are some that have been waiting 40 years, some who have been waiting 59 years to see the promised land, and Joshua tells the children of Israel, in 3 days, you're going to cross the Jordan River and enter the promised land. That's a remarkable statement, that after so long a time, in 3 days, what they waited 40 years to see, they're finally going to realize. Now, let me make a correction. It was brought to my attention that I spoke about the two young men that went and spied out Jericho, that they had been slaves in Egypt. But that's not possible. All that had been slaves in Egypt died, except Joshua and Caleb, and perhaps those of the tribe of Levi, who did not send a man into the promised land. And so I should have said, they were children of parents who were slaves in Egypt. So remember, there entered into the land of Egypt those that were as young as whenever they had been born. Some were born after the command was given, and they would be less than 40. Some were 19 years of age, and then 38 or 40 years later, they were about 59 years old. So you have these of various ages entering in. But those that were 19 and under had been wandering in the wilderness nigh unto 40 years, wanting to see the promised land. And now, when they were 59 years old, in 3 days, they're going to see the promised land. There was one man who wanted to see it more than any of the rest of them. And let me read the pitiful prayer that was prayed by this man. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3. And look at verse 23. 3:23. Here is Moses. Moses is the man whose prayers wrought marvels in the heart of God. But now, it says at verse 23, and I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy word and according to thy mighty act? Let me go over, I pray thee, and see the good land that is beyond the Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sake, and hearkened not unto me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up unto the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. A pitiful prayer that God did not answer for Moses. When God preserved the nation of Israel because of Moses' prayer in Exodus, and yet his own prayer, God sees fit not to answer. But now, those for whose lives he had prayed, their very existences owed to the answered prayer of Moses, the servant of God, in 3 days they are going into the promised land. Now, you have two prominent bodies of water that are brought to our attention. One body of water was the Red Sea that kept them in the land of Egypt. They had to cross over the Red Sea to get out of the land of Egypt. But they have another body of water, the Jordan River, and they have to cross that body of water to get into the promised land. So here is a body of water that keeps them in Egypt, and here is a body of water that keeps them out of the promised land. God miraculously dealt with the Red Sea, and therefore there was no barrier that kept them in the land of Egypt as slaves. They went through the Red Sea on dry ground, and they were now separated, and the waters came back, and now this is glorious. What once kept them in Egypt, now the river keeps them out of the land of Egypt. But just as it says concerning Abraham in the promised land, he brought Abraham out that he might bring him in like manner, God brought Israel out that he might bring them in. And there is another obstacle that stands in the way of the promise of God being fulfilled, and it is the Jordan River. Now, what is of interest is the different ways that God performs these miracles. He does not perform the miracle on the Red Sea identical with that of the Jordan River, but at the Red Sea, God tells Moses to lift up his rod and hold it out over the sea. And when he does, it says God causes a strong wind to blow the waters back. And God uses the wind to blow the water back. And the children of Israel pass over on dry ground. That's the way God got rid of the Red Sea as an obstacle. But here, it's most remarkable because it is not any man holding out a rod, but it is the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. Now, it could not be seen. The Ark of the Covenant was covered, and outwardly it was covered with this covering of blue. But it was on the priest's shoulders, and God said, you tell the priests that carry that Ark to go ahead of the children of Israel. And with the Ark on their shoulders, they are to go down the bank of the Jordan and to stand with their feet in the brink of the river. It's not that the priests went without the Ark. It's not that the Ark is placed in the river. But the priests bearing the Ark walk into the brink of the river. And then we are not told what does the work. We are not told of any wind that blows, but when they stand in the brink of the Jordan River, it says that the waters went back and grouped in a heap far back up the river. And if you look it up and measure it on a map, you'll find that some 25 miles up the river from where they were crossing, the waters gathered together in a heap. This is a remarkable thing. Think now. The water already is overflowing its banks, and God drives it back into a heap some 25 or 30 miles up the Jordan River, and then it's there in a heap. And think of the vast lake or the vast mountain of water that is there. And God says, now you stay there as long as I want you to. And what is thrilling is that it did stay there as long as the feet of the priests that bear the Ark stood firm in the midst of the Jordan. You see what has happened? When they stood in the brink, then miraculously, 25 miles up the river, the waters gathered in a heap. And then the waters that were where they were crossing, they passed on down and drained into the Dead Sea. Think of the marvel of those that are up the river 25 miles and suddenly a flood like they've never seen before takes place. And think of those who are accustomed to seeing the Jordan River overflow its banks at this time of the year. Suddenly look and there's no water there. It's all drained into the Dead Sea. A remarkable miracle wrought by the power of God, and we are not told other than God spoke and it was done. Now, when this happens, when the ark is in the midst of the river and there is dry land, then the people who had been 1,000 yards back are told to pass through that Jordan River on dry ground, and they do. And so the priests are standing there, and that which is very human and humane is spoken of. While they're standing there, it says the people hastened to cross the Jordan River. Not because there was the probability that perhaps God couldn't hold back these waters anymore, But suppose you had to stand holding the ark on your shoulders till 2 or 3 million people march past you to get to the other side. What could happen to you? You say, well, you would be exhausted. And that is how long the priests had to stand in the midst of the Jordan until all the people had clean passed over. Two things happened. Let me show you, because both of them are exciting to read. Look down at verse 10. For the priests that bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished. Verse 11. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over. But that first remark, the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished. And two, inasmuch as this ark is typical of the Lord Jesus Christ, could help but think of what our Savior on the cross said. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. He hung upon that cross until redemption was accomplished. And then He said, it is finished. And then, when it was finished, then and only then was the Lord Jesus Christ taken down from the cross and laid in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And understand that these priests who have on their shoulders the Ark of the Covenant, which is the Lord Jesus Christ in His death, and I will show you that, you'll find that the word for mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, occurs two times in the New Testament. In Hebrews 9, it is translated mercy seat. In Romans chapter 3, it is translated propitiation, and it says, Christ is set forth a propitiation. So Christ is the Ark of the Covenant. Christ is the mercy seat. So there, it was the rod, which is the power of God, and now it is the person of Jesus Christ in the midst of the Jordan, and this Jordan River speaks of death. It is Christ in death, remaining there, and suffering the agonies of death, until what time everything is finished. And then, when all was finished, the Lord Jesus said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. And then, all that was needed to redeem lost mankind had been completed, and the Lord Jesus could be removed from the cross and put in the tomb. And in like manner, the priest of necessity had to stay there until every child of Israel passed over. This is why those that tell you when Christ died for you, it may be that you successfully get across the Jordan River into the promised land, but it may be that you do not get over. The glorious thing is that it says that the priest stay there until every child of Israel crossed clean over. And so it may be difficult. Think now of the old ones that slowly had to go across. Think of the children that had to go across. But God said, the ark is going to remain there until everyone is over. And I told you this the other week, which is the same thought. It said that when Christ found that lamb, that sheep that was lost, He put it on His shoulders, and it said, when He got home, and the sheep is never taken off of Christ's shoulders until He gets home. And so am I going to be saved eternally? Well, if Christ is able to hold on to me as that sheep on His shoulders, I'm going to. And so it's not I, but it is Christ who is holding the sheep. It is not the people, but it is the priest staying in the water with the ark, and they are not to come out until every Israelite is safe on the other side. And this is what God is telling us. Now, the other truth is this. The fact that it's typical, that it's a picture, is evident Because why? If somebody is crossing a river, if it's simply geographical, here is an obstacle and they have to pass over it, why not pass over it and forget it? But Joshua is commanded to take 12 men, and these 12 men are to pick up 12 stones that were in that Jordan River. And those stones are of such a weight that they have to put them on their shoulder to carry them over. And then the stones that once were in the Jordan River are now carried over to the west side, toward the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. And those stones are set up as a sign and as a memorial. That would be enough. But God is going to doubly ensure that we do not miss the significance when he says, now, get 12 other stones and put them in that Jordan River for a sign and for a memorial. You cannot help but think of Romans chapter 6. Baptism is immersion into water. And it said that we were immersed with Christ by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we might walk in newness of life. And so here is the picture of those 12 stones that are placed in the Jordan, those that were once on the other side, shut out from the promised land, but now these stones are put in the Jordan River, the place of death, the picture of death. And then 12 stones are taken out of the Jordan River and placed on the other side, which is the picture of resurrection. And this is what God is telling us. Because of the Lord Jesus who stood in the midst of the waters. And remember, only the priests who went into the brink of the Jordan River had their feet wet. The only ones. Now, if the picture were going to accurately be displayed before us, it would have to be what happened to Jonah. He said, all thy waves and thy billows passed over me. Now, God could have done it miraculously and had all those waters to pass over the priest holding the ark and the ark itself. But enough is that their feet enter the water. Christ tasted death for every man. And then we have to imagine the rest, that they stay in that Jordan River long enough for every soul to get to the other side. And here is a picture of Christ who suffered, who bore in his body upon the tree our sins. And he suffered until the debt of sin was paid. And then he said, it is finished. And then alone were the priests to come up out of that Jordan River. And it says, their feet were placed on dry ground. And now they could look back, standing on dry ground, and see all the waters fill the river again, like it had before the miracle was wrought. And now they're standing on resurrection ground. And this is what God wants us to understand. So there are three stages in the lives of those who are lost and become children of God. Once, we were slaves to sin in Egypt. But God, because of the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost and on the lintel, delivers us out of Satan's power, and he miraculously opens the Red Sea, and we cross that. That's one hurdle. But we're in the wilderness, and we have another hurdle to pass, and that is the Jordan River to get on resurrection ground. You see, the Lord shows both of them in the Jordan River, but then you have to look at all the geographical positions to get the picture completely. So here in the Jordan River, when they put the stones in, it is that they died, and when they take the stones out, it's that they are alive from the dead. You'll find in Ephesians 2, you have he made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And this truth is brought out in the book of Colossians, and in Ephesians that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, what God has shown us in figure here is an assurance that everything is going to come to pass. Let me show you this. Look now in chapter 3. Understand the significance of it. Chapter 3, verse 10. And the Lord said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite. What is the assurance? That the river is going to be separated and you'll go over on dry ground safely to the other side. Now think. If you're thinking about all the enemies in the promised land and wondering, how can we, a nation of untrained soldiers, ever go in and conquer these hostile enemies in the promised land? God said, I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you assurance. How are you going to get across this river? They said, it's impossible. We can't cross it. God said, I will miraculously get you across that river. And he did the way that I told you. He said, once they're on the other side, now do you see what I did for you? You had no conception of how to get across that river. Now that you're on the other side, do you see that I am a God that is mighty and can fulfill all my promises? And they would say, yes. He would say, well, what other obstacles you have to face, I will enable you to overcome those obstacles as well. God wants what happened to them never to be forgotten. There were two memorials, a sign and a memorial. And what is so remarkable is those that are familiar with the geographical situation of the Jordan River and its depths say that in ordinary weather, it's about 4 or 6 feet deep. And so if they knew the spot where the stones were, and the Bible says the stones are there until this day, then when children were walking along and were to look in the Jordan River and say, what are those stones doing there? Why are there so many stones together there in a certain formation? This was the opportunity for the father to explain to the child, who was not living when this miracle took place, how God marvelously wrought for the nation of Israel. Tell them about the flooded Jordan River and how God drove those waters back to a heap 25 miles up the river. And you see those stones that are in there? That is a sign. And those stones were put in there when the Jordan River was dry. That is our God. That is what he's done. And then they could look at Gilgal on the other side of the river, and the children could see those stones at any time more readily. And they would say, what is the meaning of these 12 stones? And then the same lesson would be taught again. How the stones were carried into the river and how stones were carried out of the river. And it is evident that the number 12 represents the nation of Israel. And since there are 12 stones, that's the whole nation. 12 stones in and 12 stones out. And inasmuch as it is all-inclusive, it means that we, God's children, all-inclusive, are having died to sin, having been raised from the dead spiritually, in the coming day, God is going to miraculously accomplish for us what was miraculously signified in the parting of the waters of the Jordan River. So remember that. It means so much. I'm thinking of this first of all. How am I going to conquer enemies on the other side of the Jordan? I can't even cross the river. And God takes them across. And then they say, yes, then what lies ahead? Though I haven't seen it, I have proof by a miracle that God wrought that he's going to do another miracle for me and enable me to overcome my enemies in the promised land. Now, in like manner, I look at that, and I look also at John chapter 11, where Lazarus is dead, and his body has begun to decompose, And I've heard the Lord Jesus say, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. And therefore I see that my Savior, who said, I am the resurrection of the life, has demonstrated that he is the resurrection and the life. And I can look back to that as I face death in the body and know that as Lazarus was raised from the dead, I shall be raised from the dead. And you, as you look at John 11 and at this sign in the River Jordan and out of the River Jordan, that Christ can raise you as well. These are promises of God. And now, after so long, they are in the promised land. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that all of your promises in the past have been fulfilled, and all your promises for the future are going to be fulfilled. Let us know how Satan and the world would fill us with doubts. But when they do, let us remember the sign for the little children that ask about those stones and the explanation of those that were there and experienced that sign, the words that they were to tell them about it. And let us remember Lazarus when he was raised from the dead. And let us remember also our Father, how Eutychus was raised from the dead. And also how Dorcas was raised from the dead. And let us know that you are able to do that for us as well. And therefore, when we hear the promise, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Let us take it to heart and understand that Christ is able to do that for us. And so in their turn, they experience their miracles. And Father, in our turn, we shall experience ours. We are thankful that the Ark of the Covenant went into the waters of death for us. And now the pain and the suffering and agony of sin shall not be ours. Yes, we must die. But we can say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We are thankful, our God, that Christ bore the sting and the agony, and we are escaped of all these things, and therefore we die. It is appointed unto men once to die, but we are thankful that after that, the judgment, and we stand before a friend, a Savior, upon the judgment seat of Christ. So bless these truths to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.